For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
D-Gen Nation fam, what is up? What is happening? It's week six with the D-Gen Nation pod, and we're ready to get after it. One of your hosts here, Ryan Williams. You can find me on Twitter at RyanAlexander_W, and I'm joined by my usual co-host, my usual suspects, Mr. Matty Dickinson at Matty DFS on Twitter is where you can find him, and the godfather himself, the one and only Kevin Steele at FantasyRat13, and my oh my, we got a great show for you guys today. It's week six. We got a lot in the bank, so we got plenty to talk about. It's going to be lit, right, Matty?
Yeah, I can't wait to dive into this with you guys. We already talked some little bit in the DMs before earlier today, and I think me and Kevin are pretty in disagreement on a couple things. So this should be an exciting show, entertaining show.
Oh my. Already in disagreement. I can't wait to chop it up. And of course, you know, as Kev usually does, he has to make his grand entrance. So he's letting us start it off right now, and he'll come in maybe around that time. But for those of you guys who are listening to us, we appreciate that. Hopefully you're subscribed to the channel on your podcast software on Apple Podcasts, Podbeam, Stitcher, what have you. We really appreciate that. Rate and review the podcast. We do appreciate all the love that we've been getting. And if you're watching us on YouTube, on Periscope, we really appreciate all the comments that have been coming in all year. We appreciate everybody who's been coming in and interacting with us. And make sure you guys are subscribed to the YouTube channel. Just type in the Fantasy Authority. You can subscribe. If you're watching it, you see it right there on the bottom of the screen. That's where you can get all of our video content. We got a weekly waiver show that is every Sunday night, an early waiver show. So for you guys that are trying to make those adjustments to your rosters early, definitely catch that. Also a weekly start sit show. It always gets me. Kev always says that. Weekly start and sit show on Wednesdays. So that's been
fun. Maybe you're doing both.
Hey, maybe you're doing both. If you need
sitting on the throne, start your lineup.
Pop a squat. Man, too funny. But yeah, those are on Wednesdays live as well. So hopefully you guys are tuning into that. But let's get into the DFS slate, Matty. We got week six, and it's Thursday when we usually do this, and I thought we were going to make it the whole week before we had any, you know, things that were going to arise to kind of ruffle the feathers, and here we go again. Atlanta's dealing with some issues there. They're supposed to be playing Minnesota, which, you know, everything was pointing to that game being bananas, and so now we have to wait and see. It sounds like there were multiple tests at first. Now it seems like there's only one test and it wasn't even a player. So they kind of were keeping the facility closed, but they were still doing their meetings and everything like that. It sounds like a similar case that we've seen before and that the game should still be played. We get Cam Newton back this week from COVID. So that's going to be fun to see him back on the field. No Le'Veon Bell for the Jets. He was released. Now he signed with the Chiefs. That happened earlier today. So he's off the slate. And it's just crazy, Matty. I feel like we've talked about this time and time again, especially me and you doing these paired shows. But the scoring this year has been outrageous. And that's really what we're trying to hone in on from a DFS perspective. And I'm looking through the implied team totals this week. And I'm like, okay, we get an 11-game slate, so that should be nice. Where are the spots that we're going to look through? And I'm looking at these implied team totals. I see you know, 27, 27.25, 27.25. Hell, the Miami Dolphins and the Packers both have the same implied total. And it's just crazy. You have an 11-game slate, but 10 teams have implied totals of 27. So, Maddie, as we get into QBs and everything like that, like, you know, how are you dealing with stuff this year with these games being so high scoring that we're able to kind of just cherry pick? It seems like, you know, you can get Chase Claypool over here, who that game didn't look enticing, but hey, the scoring made it so. So many relevant things are happening with these games. And I guess maybe because there was no preseason, the defenses are a little bit weaker, so more points are able to be had.
Yeah, not only the defense is weaker, but with no fans in the stands, there's not really a home advantage. And, you know, teams can take advantage of hard counts and snap counts and all that. You don't have to go to a silent snap count, so you've got less false start penalties that, you know, ruin drives. So there's just a lot of different factors, you know, that have kind of pointed in the direction of offensive arrows pointing up. But yeah, I mean, you said it, it's like game stacks have been the, like, what's taking down tournaments this year. And you've got to, you know, try to find three or four different guys from a game and hope that game goes nuclear. And that's been, you know, the tournament winning lineups. So what I've been trying to do over the last couple of weeks is really pick out three games, since, you know, I like to play three teams, pick out three games that I really, really like in terms of back and forth air attacks potential, and load up on those. And if I've got, you know, five or six different ones that I'm looking at, I'm just going to force myself to play the three lowest owned, because yeah. I feel like I can predict running back success easier than I can, you know, which wide receiver is going to explode here or there. So just, you know, give me a QB and two or three of his receivers. And if the QB goes off, then I don't have to really, you know, figure out, okay, well, which receiver is it going to be? Is it going to be Brandon Cooks and Will Fuller? Is it going to be, you know, is it going to be one or the other? So like last week I played Deshaun with Will Fuller and Brandon Cooks. Luckily I got the Brandon Cooks explosion game at 9% owned. Right. So it's just, you know, getting exposure to game stacks like that. And we'll talk about the specific ones this week, but that's really where I've been focusing my attention to, for tournaments this year.
Yeah, man, I hear you there. And definitely it all starts with the quarterback, right? So let's kind of just peel back the layers here of quarterback. And I know you have a lot to unpack there. So I'll start it off with mine as we get in here. And, you know, I didn't feel myself getting to this place, but Matthew Stafford, I feel like a lot's been talked about him already thus far this week. In that game against the Jacksonville Jaguars, it's on the later slate, but you're looking at the team total there. Points supposed to be scored about 54, 53 and a half, I think it opened at. And there's just so much fantasy goodness to have there with the way the Jacksonville defense has been playing. And we've said that. Look at this. This is unbelievable. He just comes in here and he just gets it going.
What's up, boys?
You all right?
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
You got something to be excited about in Kansas City? I don't know.
I'm doing fucking fantastic, boys. Fucking the Chiefs just signed Le'Veon Bell. Let's fucking go.
Oh, my goodness. Unbelievable. I love this guy. He's too funny. We were just talking about Matthew Stafford, Kev. I know how much you love him this week as well.
I do. He's a much better player than Lamar Jackson.
Oh, oh boy.
Get right into it. I love it. Yeah, I mean, going back to Matthew Stafford against this Jacksonville team that's just been giving up points in bunches, he will be a popular quarterback, but I still like getting to him. But the other quarterback that I really like getting to this week is just Ryan Fitzpatrick. And you're looking at the numbers that he's putting up on DraftKings, which I kind of had to do a double take. I couldn't believe it. But he's got like 20 points in four straight games, 25 points. And he's doing it without having to throw for multiple touchdowns, because he's ran in a touchdown in two out of the last four games that they've played in. They find themselves in negative game scripts, so he's throwing. They find themselves in positive game scripts against the 49ers, and he's still able to pay off there. And I'm looking at his distribution of targets there, and really, you know, it's going to Devontae Parker at the top. He's the alpha. And then, you know, sprinkled in with Preston Williams and Mike Gesicki and things of that nature. So you can pair this guy in favorable matchups here and we'll talk about it at wide receivers. But I'm liking getting to Fitzpatrick this week. Everybody against the Jets, right? And I got run back option as well at the wide receiver end too. But Maddie, why don't you? You know, Kev already came in here. He opened up Pandora's box. So why don't you let us where you're at and what you're leading to on the week six DFS QB slate for the main slate?
Okay. So everybody's always like, you know, this, what has this guy done weeks one through five, blah, blah, blah. We know the ceiling Lamar Jackson has. 8 of his 15 games last year was over 30 points. 3 of those 15 went over 35 points. Yeah. He has not, you know, hit that ceiling yet this year, but he really hasn't needed to because, you know, the teams on the other side haven't pushed him. Now that's not saying that Philly's going to come out and score a million points against Baltimore, but they're certainly capable of keeping pace better than, you know, the teams that, that Baltimore's faced so far. But it's a guy, you know, I don't get the week one through five fantasy points that he got when I roster him in week six. I get his week six fantasy points. And if he's going to be out there, he was full practice already. You know, all the stacks that are in good spots this week, you look at all the QBs, you know, you've got Aaron Rodgers is priced up, Lamar's priced up, Stafford's priced up, Minshew's priced up, Deshaun Watson's priced up, Big Ben's priced up. Like, DraftKings did a really good job. Not only the quarterbacks, but their receivers are all priced up too. And so, like, now the gap, it's not like, you know, normally we get all these guys that I just mentioned are around 6K and Lamar's at like 7.3, 7.4, where there's a, you know, a bigger gap and not as much of, you know, the salary cap being needed. But you look at all the wide receiver guys in these stacks you want to play, and they cost a lot of money to get to them. So it's, you know, I'm getting the arguably the highest scoring quarterback on the slate. I have to pay for him, but I don't see anybody else who can go out there and, you know, score 35 points like Lamar can. We've seen, you know, he's been very close connecting with Marquise Brown on these deep shots, and Mandrews has caught, dropped a couple of passes here and there, and the Eagles have given it up to tight ends, especially in the touchdown department. I just, man, it's just such an easy stack with the Ravens, Marquise and Mandrews, and it's the obvious too that he's gonna hit if he has a big day. And then you can run it back with Fulgham on the other side, who's taking over the X role in Philly. So it's a pretty easy game stack. Vegas, you know, they have it at a 48, I think, is the last I saw it. And it's about a touchdown spread. So, yeah. And nobody's playing Lamar. I like to play stacks, like I mentioned, try to play the ones that are, you know, a little bit lower owned. And if Lamar was popular this week, I wouldn't really be on him. But last week he had a knee injury. You know, he didn't really practice. He was also sick, and there was, you know, word went around that he was dealing with a death of somebody he knows passed away on Sunday morning or something. So it was kind of a weird week for him, and he only ran 2 times. I'm not expecting that to continue. So, yeah, I really like Lamar and think he's got the highest ceiling out of the entire slate. So definitely going to pay up for him at lower ownership.
What a fish. Fish move.
Send head to head.
I get everything you just said. He certainly has the highest upside of any quarterback on this slate, and I'm not denying that. But at 7,700 and how he's played this year, if this was a different team that they were going to be playing, right, or this was an Eagles offense that was at full strength, I would likely agree. But the Eagles aren't. They're not going to need to throw the ball, which they don't throw the ball that much. They're actually 27th in attempts, average about 27 attempts per game. Does not have a 300-yard game on the season. He's only averaging 189 passing yards per game. So if he's going to get there, he's going to have to get there through rushing volume. Still is number one in the league in carries and number two in carries per game among quarterbacks. I'm not going to bank on that because – to me, I don't see this as a game where he's going to be able to go out and throw 4 or 5 touchdowns. If they're not throwing the ball, I don't think that the Eagles defense is good enough to keep this a close game, but I feel like this game looks much more like a 24-17 type of game.
Did you see what Ben and Claypool just did to this defense last week?
Yeah.
Their pass defense is horrendous. They have no good cornerbacks other than Slay. And Hollywood can outrun Slay easily. And Slay even playing? He's banged up.
I think he was limited in practice today from what I saw. with the concussion.
He's not, but the problem is though, but we're comparing Big Ben and Lamar Jackson as passers, and I don't think that's really fair. Lamar Jackson is, I still don't think is a great passer. I think he's adequate. I think what makes him so special is his ability to run and get outside of the pocket and use his legs, and that keeps defenses honest. But in terms of just a pure passer, like that's just not his game. He's not accurate. Like, he is, you know, we talked about, you know, deep ball and stuff like that. He has been horrendous this year as a deep ball passer, and it's not because he's not throwing deep balls. He is 12th in the league in deep ball attempts, but he is 29th in deep ball completion percentage. Like, so is it Lamar Jackson's fault, or is it Marquise Brown's fault that he hasn't hauled in a lot of them? Like, I have questions about this, and this is something that people have talked about with him, is how is he going to progress as a passer? And so far, he really hasn't, and it doesn't look like the Ravens really believe that either, because essentially, they're still not throwing the ball that much. I mean, against the Chiefs, they trailed that entire game, and he looked completely lost. He only had, 96 yards passing in that game when they were behind the entire game. I just don't think the game script's going to be there. I think they're going to try to run the ball. And, yes, if Lamar Jackson gets 100 yards rushing, which is certainly possible with him, but my problem is that he costs so much money. You are paying the tip of He is the number one quarterback on the slate, right? In terms of price. And that is my problem. I would rather pay down for these other quarterbacks and save the $1,400 and get in some of these other guys that I think that are in good spots. Like, I want to play Devontae Adams this week. I want to play Adam Thielen this week. You can't do that by paying up for Lamar Jackson. And if he doesn't hit 35 fantasy points, he's not a good play. If he gets you 27, it's not a good play. That's still good fantasy points, but it's not good for what his price tag is. So points per dollar play, that's the only problem I have with them. Like, I get it. I understand where you're coming from with the ceiling and stuff like that. But there's nothing to go off of right now to say that what he's done through five games doesn't give you any confidence that all of a sudden, yes, we can talk about all he did last year, and that's great. But this is 2020, and he hasn't done that yet. And so can he do it? Sure. Is it in the range of possibilities? Yes, but I don't think it's a high probability outcome. And if it's not, and if he only gets me 25 or 28 fantasy points, that's not good. That's not what I'm looking for, that you're not going to win a tournament like that. So for me, if it's not going to be there, the only way you can possibly believe that it is if the Eagles can keep this game close. And I don't know if they can at where they're coming from and how many points they are, how this Eagles offense looks. It doesn't look like Deshaun Jackson's going to be back. It looks like they're going to be out here running Travis Fulgham again and Miles Sanders and these guys, Zach Ertz, right? And so if they don't have the weapons to keep up with the Ravens could easily get in, you know, a couple rushing touchdowns, get ahead, and they're not going to throw the ball. So he's not going to get the five touchdowns that we're looking for here. So we'll see. But I can't use what happened against what Pittsburgh did, because these are two totally different teams that are built totally different.
My counterpoint to that, he's not going to need to throw, or he's not going to be able to throw five touchdowns. Last year when they beat Miami 59-10, he threw five touchdowns. Last year when they beat the Rams 45-6, he threw five touchdowns. Last year when they beat the Jets 42-21, he threw five touchdowns. He threw for one game over 300 yards last year, one game, and he still scored over 30 fantasy points in over half of the games he played in. It's because of the efficiency of the touchdowns and the rushing upside that we're talking about. And until last week, which we talked about, you know, was kind of a weird week. I'm just gonna throw that out as an anomaly. I don't think last week is the true, you know, the true Lamar. And I don't think, you know, the offensive coordinator is just gonna say in the middle of the year, okay, let's just switch to, we're just gonna pass now and Lamar's not gonna run, because that's not how they're built. And you can't just run into the teeth of the defense with running backs against Philly. Like, you have to get outside the pocket with a running back or throw the ball downfield. Like, that's how you beat the Eagles. And I think that, you know, we've seen 7, 9, 16 rush attempts from Lamar in different games this year. And I think we get back to, you know, the 8 to 10 rush attempt range. And he's always dangerous enough. We saw it in week 1. He housed a 60-yard touchdown run. Like, that's what he does. And, you know, I'm not banking on him throwing 300 yards, but he definitely has 4 touchdown upside regardless of the game script, and the rush volume is there. Right. So
I know, but like I said, I can't bank on what he did last year for what he's doing this year. Like, it just hasn't been there. And so he's been fine. He's had some good weeks where he scored 27. I think that's as high that he's hit, but like that's not enough for what you're paying for Lamar Jackson.
Like yeah, I said, that's fair, but my argument is we haven't seen a ceiling yet this year. And I want to get it when nobody else has it.
Like then you're just chasing it? Like you're just chasing that.
I feel like I'm out ahead. I feel like I'm in front because nobody's playing him. Now if 15 or 20% of the field was on Lamar this week, I would be off completely because there are red flags, you know. But since he's going to be probably the 7th, 8th, 9th highest owned quarterback because of how much he costs and everybody wants to play Davante Adams, everybody's going to jam in Madison. Like,
did you play him last week?
No, I didn't because he missed practice. He had that illness. It was just, you know, and I think last week the pricing was better for the cheaper quarterbacks. Yeah. Like this week, this week we've seen all the receivers, like I said, and all the stacks. Like if you want to stack any of these guys, these quarterbacks, all their pass catchers are priced up this week. DraftKings did a good job with that. So it's a different dynamic in terms of getting to the stacks you want. And the last point I'll make on Lamar is, yes, you're paying 77 or whatever, 100 for him. But at the same time, his wide receiver one is 6,500. Whereas if you flip that with a top QB, you know, who's 6,500 gets a top wide receiver that's 7,500. It's the same kind of 2v2. You're just paying it for it at a different position. So.
Right. And you know, I do think I honestly agree with Kev here that I don't know if you need to pay off on him just yet because I felt burned by him because I've played Lamar a lot as Contrarian Play talked about him last week in the Contrary 10. But, you know, rushing for 3 yards, that's an anomaly. That's not going to happen again. That's ridiculous. And the running backs are just ass there. I mean, you know, J.K. Dobbins, I think, will be good when he gets the share. But, you know, you can't trust what they're doing there. Mark Ingram's only getting 11 carries a game. Then you got Gus Edwards, who's getting 10 to 8 carries a game. And then they're rotating in Dobbins, but they're not getting, you know, but 40 or 50 yards at most out of these guys. And so they're still relying on Lamar to throw. And if every freaking down was first down for Lamar, this dude would be money. Because his first down numbers are incredible when you look at him. And then after that, he's just not able to make throws. So it has been concerning with Lamar. I don't know if I'll be able to get to him because we have so many other players at other positions. But Kev, I wanted to toss it to you because if you're not playing that price tag at Lamar and there's two other 7K quarterbacks, everybody else is in the 6K range or below. Like, who are you looking at playing to get upside this week?
Well, you guys already talked about Matt Stafford. I absolutely love Matt Stafford in this game against Jacksonville. Jacksonville's defense is already trash, and it's even more beat up. They continue to lose players along that defensive side. So I like Matt Stafford quite a bit. He has not really had a monster game yet last week against – looks like we were heading there before their bye against the Saints. He started out with those two touchdowns to start off the game, and then they kind of went a little bit they slowed it down. The pace wasn't as high, and he didn't really get there. But I love Stafford this week against Jacksonville. You know, I think Kirk Cousins against Atlanta. The question mark I only had there is, because if the Vikings get up quickly and it's like a 21-0 game, they're not going to throw the ball. They're going to so that is the concern with Kirk Cousins is can Atlanta push them? I'm hoping that we get a motivated Atlanta team now that they've fired Dan Quinn, which is a lot what we see from a lot of teams. So if they can, that is my only concern with Kirk Cousins this week is can Atlanta keep it close? Because if they can, or if Atlanta could get a lead, this is an absolute smash spot for Kirk Cousins at 6,100. He played pretty well last week going against Seattle. But again, they got up early in that game, and then they were able to not, you know, kind of take the foot off the gas a little bit and lean on Alexander Mattison, which we'll talk about. And the running back position now that Dalvin Cook looks to be out. Past that, you know, you talked about Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think you could definitely do that. Ryan Fitzpatrick has looked pretty good this year. It's pretty crazy. Since week 7 of last year when he took back over, he is the quarterback 3 from then to now on that point since then. Like, it's insane that he has played that well. You know, like, there's this part of me that wants to play Nick Foles, but I can't do it. against Carolina, like it's a good matchup. Carolina's defense is terrible; it's trash. We know that, but trusting Nick Foles is ridiculous, especially a $5,800 Nick Foles. So, you know, other than that, like, I think Cam Newton, I think, is an interesting play at $6,500 now that he's back. You know, he has that rushing upside. And against Denver's defense, I'm not really all that concerned with Denver's defense. So I do like – I have a little bit of – I like him just a little bit. But for me, mainly, my main two guys is going to be Stafford and Cousins this week.
Yeah, I like that, Kevin. I do agree with you. Like, I wanted to write down Cousins too, but it just kind of feels like I don't know if the volume is going to be there. Are you interested in Matt Ryan there on the other side at all, knowing that he's had around like 40 attempts because this team has just gotten into situations where they need to either play from behind or they've gotten up so big that he's gotten there already? And he's 6,600. He kind of, you know, maybe we get Julio back here, who's cheap this week, and we'll talk about him. But Calvin Ridley's been there, and he's still throwing like DGAF mode there, and he's 6,600. I don't know how you felt about him because I really haven't gotten to any builds with him yet.
I would rather play the other guys. I'd rather play Stafford or Cousins than play Matt Ryan. I think it is going to be a huge key if they can have Julio Jones or not. Like, he has since Julio Jones hasn't been there, like, they just don't look like the same offense because Julio Jones opens up so much. Just his presence being out there and the resources that teams put at him, it opens up the rest of the field for guys like Hayden Hurst and Calvin Ridley. Like, I love Calvin Ridley, but I don't think that Calvin Ridley to me is not like an alpha wide receiver. He is an elite wide receiver too. And I think he needs somebody to draw some of that coverage away from him. And so if he can't, then that's my concern with Matt Ryan. And he's 6,600. Like, if I'm gonna pay up at that price, I'll play Big Ben. I'll play Deshaun Watson. You know, guys like that, or even an Aaron Rodgers, has been absolutely nuclear. If I'm gonna pay up to that kind of price, I'd rather go there than play Matt Ryan.
Yeah. So before we move on to running backs, we have to kind of talk about this. We got on the afternoon slate, Green Bay going into Tampa, Tom Brady against Aaron Rodgers going up there. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers is priced up here. You got him at 7,500 for what he's been able to do here against this team, who's going against a defense that is very stout against the run. So you think that Aaron Rodgers will have to be responsible for some scoring there. But then on the other side, you got Tom Brady, and he's down at 6,500, which just kind of really fits in nicely between the guys that you're talking about, Kev, like $200 more than Stafford, and, you know, cheaper than Rodgers by 1,000, cheaper than Lamar by 1,200. And it's Tom Brady. Like, you know, are we trusting this backfield? Like, Ronald Jones can't catch passes, so he's not getting invited to dinner meals with the Brady family. And Fournette could be back, I guess. I'm not sure where he's at in his status realm at this point on Thursday, but you know, we get Chris Godwin, maybe not Mike Evans, but Chris Godwin being back, and it's still Tom Brady. Like, if he needs to throw, he can go out there and do it for 6,500.
Yeah, it's going to be huge getting Chris Godwin back. It sounds like he is going to be good to go. He practiced again today. Leonard Fournette is also practicing, so he sounds like he's going to be back, which is just going to be another mess of a committee. But yeah, I don't hate Tom Brady. I mean, I guess we could talk about when we get to wide receivers, but Mike Evans, if he didn't have the touchdowns, Mike Evans has been terrible this year. Yeah. Like, he's not getting the yardage at all. It's just that he's been carried by the touchdowns. I think he has, what, 5 touchdowns on the year?
Right.
So it's just not been great for him. But I do think having Chris Godwin back out there is going to be huge for this offense. I assume that Jaire Alexander would probably be on Mike Evans,
yep.
I would think. And Jaire Alexander has been fantastic this year.
He's really good.
Yeah, I'm really excited just for that game. Maybe not so much from a DFS perspective, but I like some pieces from that game. But I don't know if I'll see myself game stacking that one. But I do love this matchup. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Love the idea of game stacking it. It's the highest total of the week, and it's a 1-point spread. So.
Right.
I mean, there's a good chance it could just be back and forth all game long. And I mean, Tampa Bay is a pass funnel. Can't run on them. So any production that you get from the running backs is likely going to be through the air. So I like, you know, Rodgers and obviously Adams. And then Valdez Scantling's cheap, 4,600. And even week one, he got 39% of the air yards and 15% of the targets. And that's what that those numbers have held steady through week four. So yeah, and you run it, like you guys said, run it back with Godwin. I really like that game stack, and nobody's going to play it because of how expensive Rodgers and Adams are. Like, I think you see a lot of Adams one-offs is what I think you see.
Right.
Nobody's going to pair Rodgers with Adams, but if the Bucs keep it close, man, I mean, Tampa Bay, we know they like to run the ball, and you can run on Green Bay. So, like, if they have just efficient drives and Godwin picks up chunk plays and scores a touchdown, yeah, I really like that game stack a lot.
Yeah, I like that. I like that we're talking about that, and we'll get to that at wide receivers. Let's talk about running backs here. And Maddie, you had some interesting guys to play at running back, so I want to touch on yours first. And you know, we got Alexander Mattison on this slate, and shout out to DraftKings for holding back the prices and unleashing what is $7,200 Alexander Mattison on what was looking like Madison week, getting him at, like, you know, probably 5,500 or maybe even 6K flat or something like that before they released the prices. And then I said, but I tweeted it out, man. I mean, just watching this guy play, like, I don't care what his price is. This dude is bananas. Like, get him into lineups. Like, I just got to find a way to get him in. And then the other thing I wanted to talk about before I open it up to you, Maddie, was just, you know, this Duke Johnson, you know, in line for a bigger role. I saw a lot of chatter going out on the Twitter sphere about how they want to start getting Duke Johnson involved. And how many times have we heard this or seen this before? But it is a new coach there. It is kind of a new regime, so to speak. And he comes in at like the flat 4K price, I believe, on DraftKings. And so if he does have a role, I thought that was interesting. But let's talk about these running backs and let's open it up. I know Madison was one of yours, but the other two guys I'm really interested to hear your thoughts on.
Yeah, so the thing with Madison I want to touch on real quick. I mean, if this was Dalvin Cook at 7,200 and was going to be the highest owned running back on the slate by a good margin, like, he's going to be north of 30%. Would we be sitting here saying Dalvin Cook is a lock? Like, you have to just eat the ownership in tournaments and play that. Or would we be saying, there's, you know, that game, you know, I mean, that game could really slow down if, you know, Gurley gets going on one side and Madison, you know, or Dalvin Cook, if he, you know, has a solid game on the other side. But, like, there's paths to where those guys, you know, score low 20s. And at 30% ownership, I don't know, man. I haven't decided what I'm going to do yet. I feel like it's definitely worth talking about, though, because a lot of people are just going to start their team with Madison because it's, oh, the new shiny toy that I got this week. He's going to fill in for Dalvin Cook, right? And it's just like, man, he's 7,200. Like, he's got to score close to 30 points to absolutely burn me at that price. Because if I play him, I can't load up on air attacks. Can't play Davante Adams, really. I can't stack him with Aaron Rodgers. I can't play any of the 6K wide receivers. I can't pay up at tight end. Like, there's just a lot of things you can't do if you pay 7,200 for a running back.
Especially not playing Lamar either, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You got to play Andrew.
This really is a tough week, and you've got to make some tough decisions. And so, like, I won't fault you if you play Madison, but I definitely see, you know, I probably will be underweight myself. Because the builds that I like currently is they're all high price stacks, and I'm going to end up not paying that much for a running back. And if I did, why not just play Mike Davis, who consistently is scoring 25 to 30 points.
Right. Who was like close to 30% owned last week. But he's been doing the same thing week in and week out. Just the matchup was so great.
He literally is CMC Jr. in that offense.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the role. So yeah. So I like, obviously, like, both of those guys up top, if you can afford them. Jonathan Taylor, we've seen him get a lot of carries when they play with a lead. They're 8-point favorites at home against a bad Cincinnati run defense. 6,400 is a little easier to swallow than 7,200. He's a guy that I realistically can see, you know, going out. And you're going to need 100 yards and probably two scores for him to reach tournament value. But, I mean, he's scoring touchdowns on a weekly basis anyways. And this is as good a matchup as it's going to get to, you know, reach the 100-yard threshold. And I definitely see a path to him scoring multiple touchdowns here. This is a game script because that favors him. He's been kind of scripted out in their recent games as they've been kind of back and forth or trailing. So this is definitely a game script that fits him. And then the other one is David Montgomery, 80% snap share. He's seen what, 6 and 9 targets the last 2 weeks without Tariq Cohen. He's getting the Cohen targets. They're not taking him off the field, essentially. He's 5,800 against Carolina. You don't really need any more of a reason to play him. He will be popular just because of his price tag. But like I said, I'm going the route of playing contrarian air attacks. So I'm going to eat the chalk with a cheaper Montgomery. So that's just kind of how my builds are taking me.
Yeah, I hear you there, Maddie. And, you know, I started seeing traction get on Montgomery, and you do love that he is getting targets. And because this, you know, is it a letdown spot for him? You know, can Foles be good enough to kind of get it moving, or are we going to see what we saw from the Thursday night game against Tampa where, you know, he just isn't able to get it done, even though it is a favorable matchup? They are still on the road. I think I would like a little bit more if the Bears were at home, they were favored, but I do get trying to get some salary relief there for Montgomery when they do, you know, if they can't get in the red zone, he should be involved. But JT, yeah, I think that's huge. And I saw that DJ Reader is going to be out for Cincinnati. I think they're dealing with a couple other injuries on their front line.
And the Colts are getting Constanza back on offensive line too.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's big for them.
Yeah, that's huge. And so, yeah, I mean, the touches just aren't where they should be with this guy, right? And we thought that after Marlon Mack went down, we saw what happened in week two, that, okay, this is great. Like, they're going to unleash this rookie, but there's still Naheem Hines is seeing the field and Wilkins is seeing the field, and they're just limiting him. But they've also, you know, been in some situations where they have had to not need him. They could just get up. And so that does concern me a little bit in this game. But at that price tag, if it does stay competitive, I think he'll be on the field a little bit more. And you definitely like the matchup. I think the Bengals have given up 100 rushing yards in 4 of their 5 games this year. So that's definitely nice. Kevin, what say you, man? You're usually the guy to not really eat the chalk here. But are you going to dive into the Madison well this week and figure it out elsewhere?
You see, hi, the reason you get the way you get over the chalk is by playing more and doubling down on that. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have probably 60 to 70% Alexander Madison. It's a fantastic matchup. He is going to see the majority of the touches in this game. I think it's a game, like I said, that if they get up early, that they are going to feed Alexander Madison. He can easily score a couple touchdowns. He's going to be involved in the passing game. I think 25 to 30 touches is in the range of outcomes of him. 7,200 is a little bit high, but kind of like we talked about when I first saw it, I was like, oh, shit. But I think it's better that he's not 4,500, right? And it came out afterwards, because if he was 4,500, he would be 100%. I mean, he would be a guy that's getting played 80, 90% this week. So with that, I think it's going to lower the ownership, because it's 7,200. There are going to be people that are going to look at him and say, oh, I can't pay $7,200 for Alexander Madison. But I don't honestly think that Alexander Madison is that big of a drop-off from Dalvin Cook. And so I think they're very similar stylistically in the way that they play. And so I know North Turner said that he is not going to change at all his game plan because of Alexander Madison, and that is how he is in him. And so I like Alexander Madison quite a bit. And so I have no problem with paying the $7,200 for Alexander Madison as long as Dalvin Cook is out. And it sounds like at this point that he's going to be. I think some of the other options that you can go to this week for me is one, David Montgomery. As much opportunity, and the dude just this getting fed touches. He's had, I think, 13 targets each of the last, or 13 targets over the last 2 weeks. He is seeing so much volume. It's hard to not play David Montgomery now with Tariq Cohen out, and they're getting Carolina. Carolina is not good against the run. And so for me, you know, last week he had 8 targets. The week before that, he had 6 targets. He's had 10 receptions, over 100 yards, and a touchdown through the air the last 2 games. So I think this is a game they can get up. Chicago has been much better against the pass than I expected to be this year. I think they're 6th in pass DVOA on the season. So I think if Carolina is going to have any shot, they're going to have to be able to run the ball, because I don't know if they're going to be able to throw the ball against this Bears defense. So I think this could be a game that the Bears are able to get up. I'm not expecting a high score here. This feels, again, much more like a, you know, 21-10 type game. And so for me, that's why I like David Montgomery. If he's going to be utilized in the passing game, if he's going to see this kind of passing volume at his price, it's really hard to get away from that at 5,800, you know, paying down in that range. And then I kind of feel the same way about Myles Gaskin at 5,400. Like, the dude just being fed opportunities each and every week at 5,400, I mean, it's not going to take a lot for him to meet value. So against the Jets, I mean, this Jets team is probably about ready to just quit and not even try whatsoever. They're missing so many pieces. Now they've gotten rid of Le'Veon Bell. So for Myles Gaskin, like, I mean, he's continued to see more and more work. Last week, Jordan Howard was a healthy scratch in that game. So last week he had 16 carries. He had 5 targets, total 91 yards and a touchdown. You know, he scored double digit fantasy points in every week but one. His role is continuing to grow. I do like Myles Gaskin. I was hoping Melvin Gordon was going to be suspended and we were going to get to play Philip Lindsay at dirt cheap, but it's not going to happen. I don't think so. The NFL is not going to make any move on that until he goes to court, and that's the way it works. Okay. Now, see, what I could end up seeing happening here is they're probably going to continue all these court dates out till after the season. Then he'll get suspended next year is what I'm starting to think may happen, because the NFL won't do anything until after he's been convicted of it or he's went to court for it. That's the way the NFL does it. And so I have a feeling that they'll just push this thing out till after the season, and then he'll go to court for it over the offseason, and then he'll get suspended next year, and he'll be suspended for the first 3 games because it's an automatic 3-game suspension whenever you get a DUI. So I was hoping to play Philip Lindsay, but we're not going to get that opportunity.
Do you think goes that is hold him out for a quarter or bench him, don't make him the starter or anything crazy like that, or you think he'll just be good to go for this week?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think so. I mean, we haven't heard anything like that. He's been practicing. I don't see that happening here in this game. I mean, I think if the NFL allows him to play, he's going to play. 4,900 Devonta Freeman. I saw that other comment like redraft. Like I definitely want kind of like Devonta Freeman. Devonta Freeman. I know everybody thought that he was cooked and that he was going to be complete dust when he came back. But he looked pretty good last week against us, and he's getting more and more opportunities. He's really kind of taken over this backfield, and the problem is this Giants offense is so goddamn bad. I mean, they should have scored so many more points last week. I was tilting my face off whenever he missed Darius Slayton in the end zone. Would have been an easy walk-in touchdown. Because I had so much Darius Slayton last week.
So crazy. And he would have paid extremely off that price tag of 4,800 last week. I think, didn't he have a touchdown called back, him and Evan Engram? Both, I thought.
Yeah.
Had one. Yeah. Just crazy, man. So, yeah, that was definitely tilting. So, yeah, I wanted to make sure we got that comment in there. Shout out to Will there in the YouTube chat for coming in on those comments. I do like what you said about Myles Gaskin too, Kevin. I was looking at him because I love Fitzpatrick so much. I was like, am I going to have to get leverage with this dude? And I saw that he was 4th in running back receptions. Like, only Kamara, Mike Davis, and Zeke are ahead of him. So, I thought that was interesting there. For him. So, yeah, I mean, at that price tag, I might have to get a little bit of him. A couple of things I wanted to touch on before we move down to wide receivers. Will also had a question about pivoting off of Rodgers and going to Aaron Jones off of low ownership. We know that this isn't a team that you necessarily want to run against, but just the passing, the receiving work that he's seeing, that Jamal Williams is seeing, like, is there any value in taking these guys? And the defense just lost Vita Vea, I think, too, to the IR as well. So can Aaron Jones pay off here? I mean, we talked about this even coming.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And into the season, like it's Adams, and then like who else is he throwing the ball to? We saw Lazard kind of step up one time, Scantling stepped up one time, but Jones is on the field, like, and it was tilting, I think, against that Atlanta game. I'm not sure what happened, you know, if he got benched because he was celebrating or he pulled out the sunglasses or whatever, but they put in Jamal Williams for basically like a whole quarter and sat him, and then he came back. So I don't know what you have to worry about there, but I just wanted to get that in and see if you guys were interested in getting to him at all.
Not at his price. And I feel like if it does, it's going to be like a kind of like a Miles Sanders situation last week, you know, whenever he, you know, did nothing, but he ended up breaking off a long touchdown run. What was it, like a 74-yard touchdown run? But there were, other than that, he didn't do shit. Like, this kind of feels like that. Like, Tampa Bay has still been elite against the run this year. And so yeah. I'm not going to pay up for that kind of price for Aaron Jones. Could he get there? Sure. He is an ultra-efficient running back. And, you know, if he found the end zone two or three times, it could end up paying off. But it's not something that I'm going to count on this week.
Right. And for me, too, I'm looking at the price tag of 7,600 there for Jones in that matchup. And like, why are you not just paying down 300 to get Derrick Henry going against Houston? And I know that James Robinson let a lot of people down. He let me down last week. And I don't know what's going on with game scripts with this guy. But we know Derrick Henry is going to be on the field. And this guy, you know, even playing against Buffalo, didn't get there yards wise, but the red zone opportunities are going to be there. I think he leads the league in red zone rushes, rushing attempts. That is, we just know what Derrick Henry offers. And from a DraftKings perspective, I feel like he always goes overlooked because he's not catching passes. But if he's going up against a, you know, nuts matchup like this against Houston, who can't stop the run worth a damn, then Tennessee could be in a good spot here, and Derrick Henry could also be in a good spot to pay off there. One more guy I want to touch on before we move to wide receivers. Interest in Antonio Gibson this week. He's 5,500. I talked about him last week when he was 5K, just with the changing of the guard there and what Kyle Allen did with Christian McCaffrey. And I think we're going to see Kyle Allen again here against the Giants. They got James Bradbury on the other side. Maybe they lean on Gibson a little bit more at 5,500. Any interest there for you guys?
I just don't know if he has a ceiling.
I know. You don't know what it is. I mean, he's consistently seeing like five targets in the game, so that's nice. But
McKissick is too, is my issue.
Yep. No, you're right. Yeah, I'm looking at their rushing numbers. Like, it's they're, you know, middle of the pack. So it's not like you're, you know, 13 attempts, 11 attempts, 9 attempts.
I don't want to tilt my face off because I'm watching J.D. McKissick play every snap when they're trailing or whatever. Right. It's just like
– right.
I can pay 300 more for David Montgomery, who's going to get 85% of the snaps and see hopefully 5+ targets.
Yeah.
In a good matchup.
That's fair. I just wanted to touch on him as he was kind of in that same price range as Myles Gaskin and other guys we were talking about.
He is interesting. I mean, if you look at some of his numbers, yeah, I mean, he's getting interesting. Like, He's actually sixth in the league in goal line carries. He's at full five goal line carries this year. Now, how much are they going to get in into that situation to be able to do that? But regardless of that, you know, he's 13th in yards per reception and 10th in yards per route run.
Maddie, you need salary savings to fit the guys, bro. I'm trying to help you out.
I've got salary savings, just in different positions.
Oh, man, that's funny.
What do you guys think, though, about Joe Mixon, though? That's kind of somebody that I think at a pretty solid price, what, 6,200?
I can't do it against Indy.
Like, I don't know, though. Like, I feel like
Kareem Hunt would have smashed at the same price last week, right?
Are they as good as they played? Because, like, they've played some pretty ass teams. Like, it's not like they've been out here playing the best offenses in the league. And so is some of it, like, I'm not, like, so scared. Like, I do not want – the Colts defense is not the best defense in the league. I don't even think they're a top five defense in the league, right? I think some of it's been matchup dependent on why it looks like this. So it can be misleading to where people are going to say, I'm not playing Joe Mixon. Like, I can't play Joe Mixon against the Colts. And I think when people say that, I think that's a mistake. And I think Joe Mixon, he's now being utilized much more in the passing game. And – that's kind of what we've been waiting for Joe Mixon, because of the past couple of years, they've just been reluctant to use him as a pass catcher. And if he's going to start getting that role as well, because last week, I think Gio Bernard barely played last week, and they finally kind of conceded to Joe Mixon as the pass catcher. And over the last couple of weeks, you know, he's had 8 and 6 targets, 6 receptions. He's still getting 87% of the snaps, 77% of the snaps. I mean, he is a true workhorse. And if he's going to be getting 30 touches a game at 6,200, I don't hate that matchup, you know. And I'm not as scared of facing the Colts defense with Joe Mixon, especially if he's going to get this kind of passing volume. So,
no, but some the Colts have actually played a couple good running backs. They James Robinson in week one. He was okay. Dalvin Cook they played in week two. They just played Kareem Hunt last week. So the design of the Colts defense is to keep everything in front of them, right, and limit the big plays. So, like, guys are having okay games. So, like, I could see Mixon, you know, maybe rushing for 60 or 70 yards and a touchdown, but I just don't know he's going to have that ceiling game that gets me there just because of the design of the Colts defense. Like, I think they held Dalvin Cook to 60-something rushing yards off the top of my head. Yeah. But
yeah. Yeah, I don't think they've allowed a 100-yard rusher all year.
I think the other thing, too, is, like, with him – well, with him as well, is that like we've continued to see it. Like even when they're down, they continue to feed the rock to Joe Mixon. Last week, they lost to Baltimore 27-3. He still had 24 attempts, plus 6 receptions. They just feed him no matter what. Like it doesn't matter the game script. So part of it is worried about get him game scripted out of it.
I saw somebody was complaining. They were like, "We're down by 37 and we're running the ball." And part of it is they wanted to prevent Joe Burrow from getting laid on his ass again because the Ravens just kept sacking him over and over. And it's just, it gets to the point where they got to protect Burrow. Right. So Mixon is going to, he's going to get his touches. Like he's pretty locked into that game script independent of, so.
Yeah. I think you can definitely, you know, and you play a lot more teams too, Kev. So I think getting to some Mixon, you know, definitely makes a ton of sense, but on single entries and stuff like that, I don't know if you necessarily need to get there to play him, but to have some exposure to him, I think does make some sense there on that side of the ball. Let's talk about wide receivers as we're moving along here. And, you know, shout out to everybody who's there watching us. DJ Nation Pod at DJ Nation Pod on Twitter is where you can find us. You're watching us on Periscope or on Facebook or the YouTube channel, the Fantasy Authority YouTube channel is where you can find all the content. We got Davante Adams, the cover boy. He's back. Maddie's chomping at the bit to talk about him. Kev, I'll let you start it off, though, this week. You talked about how Calvin Ridley is not really an alpha, which I agree with you. I think we talked last week about, you know, how Ridley as a one-off really doesn't make sense if you're playing him. You really want to play Matt Ryan on the other side because those two kind of correlate together. Adam Thielen, 7,300 in a great matchup. Your boy Allen Robinson going against Carolina at 7K. Curious to see if you're getting any exposure to him. But talk to me about these top guys and just where your process is right now leading you with wide receivers.
Chris Godwin is fucking ridiculously priced at 6,400. There's just no way. Like I'm going to have so much Chris Godwin at 6,400. Like he has routinely been a 7K, upper 7K wide receiver.
Dude, that game so much, man.
We've talked about Mike Evans, and Mike Evans just hasn't been very good this year outside of the touchdowns. I hope that he's out there to take some of the coverage away from Chris Godwin. But Chris Godwin, you know, he is back. He's practicing, so he should be good to go against Green Bay. I think if it's going to be a high-scoring game, Chris Godwin is going to see a large number of targets. And at 6,400, he can absolutely annihilate that price. So I'm going to have a lot of Chris Godwin. Adam Thielen, 7,300. I could easily pay that price for him. I would much rather pay 7,300 for Adam Thielen or than paying the extra $500 to get to Calvin Ridley on the opposite side. Honestly, I don't know if Julio is going to play because if Julio was playing, $6,700 Julio is like so enticing because he's always like a 7,500 wide receiver. Getting him at 6,700 would be, but he has not practiced. Now they have shut down their practice facility because there was a positive test among their facility. And I don't know if but he did not practice prior to this. I don't know if he's going to get out there and play this week. I could see them holding him back, but I just think this offense is completely different without Julio on the field. And so with that, like I can't play. I'm not going to be playing Calvin Ridley. If he burns me for two touchdowns, so be it. But I'm not going to go there. Kenny Golladay is somebody I'm definitely going to be looking to stack with my Matt Stafford. Love Kenny Golladay. Now he should be 100% healthy after coming off the bye. I think you could run it. You know, also if you're wanting to run two. I don't hate Marvin Jones, but I also think TJ Hockenson is another way you could go in that game. And Justin Jefferson, I also think that he is in play. He's going to be somebody that let people down after probably people that played him on Sunday night, you know, in showdown and stuff like that, after that he did not have a great performance against them. But, you know, there's nobody on this Atlanta secondary that I'm afraid of. The only thing that I would be afraid of is, are they going to have to throw the ball that much? And if they don't, that could end up negatively affecting Justin Jefferson. And I think the last one for me would probably be somebody like AJ Brown. We saw him back last week. They are just missing so many pieces on that offense. It's basically him, Jonnu, and Derrick Henry, and that's it. But in terms of the passing game, it's just literally them two. So he could end up seeing 30-35% of the targets here against Houston. I think the pace should be pretty nice in this game. So I do have some interest in AJ Brown as well.
Is Corey Davis activated off of the COVID list yet, or is he still dealing with that? I just didn't know if you guys had heard anything there with him. AJ Brown should see Joseph right on the other side there. I'm not sure.
I have it up right here. About to pull it.
Yeah, I was just curious about his matchup because 5,600 is a nice price tag for him.
Bradley Roby. He's going to
shout Bradley Roby. Okay. Yeah.
That's what PFF has.
Yeah, Corey Davis has not been activated yet, but it sounds like he could have been activated Tuesday. He was eligible to be activated, but he was not activated. So, yeah, at this point, he has not been.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be even more reason why I'd want to play him. I mean, these guys like Raymond and the other guys that they're running out there just can't compete with what AJ Brown can do. So, but yeah, 5,600 for AJ Brown's ridiculous. I love that you brought up Marvin Jones, Kev, 5,100. I just think that this could be the Brandon Cooks of this week. This dude's been on the field. He's not seeing targets, but he's on the field 97% of the time. So like, he's going to be out there and, you know, maybe they've been working Kenny Galladay back in and he's been getting, you know, the touches there. But against Jacksonville, I mean, they got to give it up big games to T. Higgins and Adam Humphries, and they gave up a touchdown to Preston Williams. So secondary guys against Jacksonville have definitely feasted. And we just saw what Brandon Cooks did too. And Randall Cobb was getting there as well. So definitely secondary guys, love that. Who else that went? Oh, Devontae Parker. I mean, I like running him with if I'm playing Fitzpatrick, got to play Devontae Parker. He's 6,300. He's the alpha there. He's, you know, leading the team in air yards, and him and Fitzpatrick seem to have a rapport. So I like that. And then the run back on the other side, I feel like I have to get Jamison Crowder in there. He's 6,100. So he's priced up, but this guy literally is doing everything. Like it just is ridiculous. I mean, 13 targets, 10 targets, 10 targets, 20 DK points in every game or higher. They don't have Bell anymore. Like they have to feed him the rock while he's out there. He's literally their entire offense and the only way that they can do anything. And you've been able to, you know, he's paid off that price tag. He should have been higher. He's been around the 5K range pretty much all year. But, you know, they priced him up a little bit higher there. So I like getting some exposure to him on the other side of that game. And then, you know, maybe going to a guy like Keelan Cole here at 4,900. I didn't have him written down, but he was just on the outside for me. If Chark is not able to go here and you're getting Keelan Cole, he's been, you know, seeing his fair share of targets on this team. Even when he's out there, he's got red zone targets to go along with that. I think 3 touchdowns on the year that he's seen. So he could be an interesting cheap one-off guy that you can get. But yeah, Kev, I mean, the two pairings there that you're talking about with Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen, and then also for me, Kenny Galladay and Marvin Jones just make a ton of sense. Maddie, what say you at wide receivers? Where are you looking at this week?
Talk me off of lock buttoning Juice Landry at 4,900.
Oh boy.
Randall Cobb, 4 for 95 and 1. Travis Fulgham played over half his snaps in the slot, 10 for 152 and 1. Jerry Jeudy, 4 for 62 and 0. And then back in week 1, they played the Giants, who don't even really – they're awful. And Sterling Shepard went 6 for 47 and 0. I mean, 4,900, likely, I would assume, playing from behind. One of the higher total games of the week, a 51 total. It's a close spread, too. It's only 3 points. So if Cleveland's going to keep it close, they're going to have to throw the ball because Pittsburgh has – been the best run defense in the NFL. And yeah, I mean, slots against Pittsburgh has been a thing. So 4,900, I think Jarvis Landry is one of the best point per dollar plays on the slate.
It's still Baker on the other side going against Pittsburgh. They get pressure.
It is. Over. It is, but at the same time, I mean, I think the volume's going to be there, especially with Chubb out. I don't think they're just going to pound Hunt and Dearness into the end of the line over and over again. And that's definitely been the matchup to attack. Pittsburgh has been in the slot. I mean, if Wentz and Fulgham can do it for 10 for 152, I think Baker and Landry can at least, you know, pay off a $4,900 price tag. So he's definitely one of my value plays. I mentioned all the high price guys that I like. So he's definitely one of the guys to fit in the more expensive guys. And then I'm curious what you guys' thoughts on Juju is, because he gets another great slot matchup on the other side of that game. Tyler Boyd caught a touchdown against Cleveland. CeeDee Lamb caught two touchdowns against them. So it's been, you know, slots have eaten against Cleveland too. It's just the usage for Juju has been so concerning. His ADOT is like, what, 4 yards? And his volume is not really high either. So
right.
He's got his price tag is not, I mean, he's like 6,600. So, I mean, you're paying for him too. But if I like Big Ben and I like that game, I kind of have to play Juju, right?
It's tough, Maddie, because I played him last week, man. And I mean, even with Slay going out, but they were just able to get Claypool whatever he wanted. But that's the kind of thing about Ben, though, too, is that like he just takes whatever the defense gives him, right? So like if he sees a matchup that he likes, you're not guarding it. Like it doesn't matter if it's Juju, doesn't matter if it's Claypool, doesn't matter if it's Ebron. Like I'm just going to the best thing that I see on the other side of the field. And so like you're saying, if the slot ends up being attackable, then Juju will get there, you know, and people will not play that price for him. And so it just is a matter of what the builds, you know, can get you to, Maddie, because that price at 6,600, there's still, you know, DraftKings being stingy, man. They don't want to drop him down because he's been floating around this price all year, 6,500, 6,600. So it is frustrating when you're looking at, you know, where he comes in at and why is, you know, why is Brown not priced higher than him? You know, why is Phil Beckham not priced higher than him? Parker just has been eating too, and Juju really hasn't given us much to deal with, but because he plays in that Pittsburgh offense and what the connotation goes with that. I think he's always in play. I think there's no way you can play a Ben stack and not get some exposure to him, but it just is tough to get there this week.
Yeah, I feel like. And that game stack is cheap too. So I really like that game. It's it's a close spread and the total's over 50 and nobody's going to game stack that game. So, and we just saw Philly able to keep it close and their offense sucks. So surprisingly, Cleveland is averaging over 30 points a game. Like, so I think that game does have sneaky shootout potential and you can stack Big Ben, Juju, Ebron and run it back with Landry. And you've got a pretty reasonable price game stack there. So
yeah.
Why go him? Why would you go Juju? And why not just play Deontay Johnson, who looked like he's going to be back at 4,900? Who's substantially cheaper.
Yeah, you can play him too. But, I mean, how much slot work is he going to get? Because that's the matchup. I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter against Cleveland. They all suck. But it's been slot receivers that have torched them this year. Slots and tight ends.
Right, so that's but Juju. I started with Juju. He's not even like, I mean, he's 45th in routes run this year. Like, he's not like, and he's 49th in targets. He's only averaged 47. He has 188 receiving yards on 21 receptions. Just fucking ridiculous.
I know. His usage, that's what I said. His usage has been terrifying. Like, I don't know what they're doing with him. But, I mean, at the same time, it's Juju, right? Like, we know how talented he is.
But sure, I mean, this is now like, but is he though? Like, you have to start asking yourself this. Like, we are now in 2 years in a row of, well, year and a half of him looking like this, where he's not been the guy that he was.
Don't bring up last year when he's playing with Mason Rudolph, bro, Delvin Hodges, bro. Don't bring that up.
But it still hasn't changed, though. It still hasn't changed, though. Like, he's still doing the same thing as he did. Like, that's the problem. We're not seeing like a bounce back. We're not seeing something that looks better because. You know, he still just looks like the same guy. Like he's not been efficient. He's the least efficient wide receiver in the league right now. And he plays 73% of his snaps from the slot. So, and paying $6,700 for that, like, unless he's going to get absolutely peppered with targets,
it would only be in a game stack for me. I would not play him over a Galladay or, you know, any of those guys like that. It would solely be if I'm playing Big Ben. And, you know, it's just been slots. Like, I think Juju can legitimately catch two touchdowns And like, he doesn't need 100 yards at that point if he catches two touchdowns.
Sure. I hear you, Maddie. And like I said, I mean, I tried to get there last week with Darius Slay and Deontay, and it just was so frustrating to see the usage because I thought he would be able to eat there. And I think we do have to wonder, too, about this knee injury that he's had lingering pretty much the entire year. This dude has limited practice pretty much all week, and then he still shows up there on the field on Sundays, but maybe that is, you know, hindering him more than they're letting on. And that's what's causing them. And they really haven't needed to use him, Kev. Like, Deontay was picking up the slack for him early on in the year. Then last week, even with Deontay out, like, Claypool comes in there like fresh, pretty much not getting any run at all and just eats. So, you know, maybe they feel like he's not 100% and they're kind of, Ben is just taking it easy on him. So to
what
speak.
Is,
go ahead, Kev.
Well, what is Claypool's ownership? Does anybody know?
I can pull it up real quick. Just give me.
It's got to be higher than what it should be. Is all I can say.
I can't wait to see it because it's going to be crazy. Kev, while Maddie's looking that up, we'll ask the question about AJ Green at 3,900, but he's completely washed, right?
I don't know if he's washed. I just think that it doesn't seem like he really wants to be there. I know he came out and said, I guess somebody asked him if he wanted to be there, and he said, yeah. But, like, he literally was on the sidelines. You could see him. It looked like exactly like he was saying, why don't they just trade me? Like, you know, like, he does not seem like he really wants to be there. So, could you play AJ Green at 3,900? You could. Would I? No. Like, I just don't think he has that sort of upside in him. Like, right. I mean, I don't think you see anything that would say that. T. Higgins has completely taken that job from him. And so, no, I couldn't do AJ Green at 3,900.
I've got a 7% Claypool, by the way.
It's still too much. That's still too high. Yeah, that's not as crazy as what I thought it would be, but it's still too much for me, especially at his price.
Especially with Deontay back.
Yeah.
Like, I think Claypool's legit. Like, he's a really good athletic freak of a wide receiver. Like, he's a baller. But I think that there's, like, you've got Ebron, you've got Juju, you've got Deontay, you've got Claypool. You know, there's a lot of mouths to feed in that offense, and any given week, it can be anybody. So,
right.
5,200, I'll pass.
It's just going to be funny to see how many people play him as a one-off, because that's what happened last week, is that you got there by just playing him and not in a game stack or not in, you know, not anything crazy like that. So if Juju does go out there and catch two, or Deontay gets one and Ebron gets one, and, you know, you pay him and maybe, yeah, he does score one, but it might not be enough to carry teams outside of a game stack than what we saw last week. Let's move on to tight ends, guys, as I know we're getting over the hour mark here as we wrap up this podcast, but let's get over the tight ends, and it's pretty straightforward this week. So I really do want to touch on this as we get Mark Andrews at the top, and then your next highest priced tight end is Mike Gesicki at 5,500. We don't have a Kittle, we don't have Kelsey. Zach Ertz is all the way down at 5,000 because he just hasn't looked right at all this whole season. So we get guys like Jonnu in between there. Robert Tonyan's on the slate at 5,100. Hockenson at 5,300. I heard you mention him, Kev. So I'm curious to hear what you guys are doing, because basically for me, I'm looking at the top and I'm saying, okay, can I get Mark Andrews in there? I love just the only thing that seems to be right in that Ravens offense is that Mark Andrews is getting open and Lamar is able to find him in the end zone. That's pretty much what's working for him. But I'm looking at guys like Trey Burton this week, and it sounds ugly, but dude, you're looking at, he's come off the injury report and he's got 11 targets. The Cincinnati team, you know, is dealing with some injuries on that side. And we know, we've talked before about how much how much Phillip Rivers has loved targeting the tight ends here. And if this guy is going to have a significant role, I like getting some exposure to him. He's second on the team in targets since coming back to T.Y. Hilton. And I just need to find salary savings somewhere. So I'm looking at him in a game that they could, you know, go up and be leaning on him. And Mo Alie-Cox seems to not be getting it done. They're not using him, at least, at all. But the other guy is Irv Smith. And I was wondering what his price tag was going to be, because they waited to release the prices and they jacked up Alexander Mattison. But Irv Smith is the bare minimum at 2,500 on DraftKings, and I couldn't believe it. I'm looking for him. I'm looking at Kyle Rudolph. He's still in the 3,600 range, but you get Irv Smith for dead cheap, And this dude, it seemed like he had a role in their last game. I don't know if that's going to translate any, but, you know, if he's doing that same type of production, getting, you know, a couple catches there for 80-something yards or whatever it was, and you pretty much anybody can have their way against this Atlanta team, then I do like getting to some Irv Smith at 2,500. Yes, please. You're pretty much playing a min price defense to get a tight end in there who could see production and could get a touchdown. So, tight end is ugly for me, but I'm curious to hear where you guys at. Maddie, pick it up for me.
I mentioned Ebron against Cleveland. Cleveland's been ever since last year into this year. They're giving up the most fantasy points to the tight end position. So everybody played Ebron last week. This feels like the Brandon Cooks of last week, right? Where everybody played him the week before and he dudded in a good spot. And then you come back and nobody's playing him in a really good spot and he catches, you know, Ebron can catch two touchdowns just like Juju can in this matchup. So I like him at 4,100. And then it's hard, really hard to get off Mark Andrews, especially if you have to play him if you're playing Lamar. You know, the Eagles gave up a touchdown to Logan Thomas in week one. They gave up three touchdowns to Higbee. They gave up that ridiculous 150 yards and a touchdown to Kittle game. So, you know, Eagles have been susceptible to tight end. So, yeah, Mark Andrews and Ebron, and I think that's, you know, the two where I'm going to be. And I have seen that Irv Smith is going to be pretty popular this week. So, I think he was projected the highest owned tight end when I last looked. So
I feel like that's just chasing, like, because he hadn't been involved at all prior to, which is ridiculous because he is a super athletic tight end. Like, I wish he would be the starting tight end for the Minnesota Vikings, but he hadn't done anything and really wasn't given any opportunity or routes. He wasn't doing anything until last week, and it kind of came out of nowhere that they finally decided to do something with him. So I feel like that's just completely chasing it, like chasing him. If he's going to be the highest owned, like,
it's also too what I said about, you know, how tough it is to build teams this week because everybody costs so much. Everybody's going to try to save at tight end. So, you know, paying up a little more, you're going to have a pretty different build.
Right, which is why, you know, I did like Burton, but I mean 2,500 for him. You know, if you're building some head to head teams and you feel confident with them, you're building cash teams. That's fine. But yeah, if you're in a large tourney pool or whatever, and you see a tight end that's going to get anywhere from like 15, 16, 20% ownership, that's not, you know, George Kittle, then, or Travis Kelce, then you know you got to look elsewhere for sure, because you'll just be that much higher over the field on guys who score more points. And I'm not saying he's going to go out there and be the optimal play, but it is interesting at that price tag. Kev, what say you at tight ends before we get into defenses here?
Well, one, I have no problem. I mean, Jonnu Smith on a weekly basis just crushes. It's at 5,200. I think he should actually probably be priced higher than that with the opportunities that he's given. He's clearly their red zone threat. I mean, he's super explosive. He is just been a baller this year. So 5,200 there. I also kind of like, I'm probably going to go right back to the well. Maybe I just hate myself, but on Evan Engram, I'm going to play him again. Washington has been terrible against tight ends this year. They have allowed on the season the third most DK points. They've given up the fourth most receiving yards, tied for the third most touchdowns to the position. So I know that there's probably going to be some people that aren't going to want to play him because of what he did last week. You know, he's still playing 85% of the snaps. I have no idea why he only saw two targets last week, considering the
so frustrating. You know,
what was frustrating. But
Jason Garrett's an idiot.
Well, yeah. But so I just think this is a great matchup for them, or for him. And so I don't think anybody's going to be playing Evan Engram this week. And I think I guess I'm just going to be chasing Evan Engram because eventually he's going to go off. And at 4,900, I just still think he's too cheap.
You're chasing Evan, I'm chasing Lamar.
I'll chase a $4,900 tight end all day over a $7,700 quarterback. But
yeah. I mean, and like with Lamar too, Kev, I think that was an anomaly too that we saw last week. And even in an anomaly where he's only seeing two targets, he gets the rushing touchdown. And like we said, he had the touchdown called back on the fake field goal or whatever play that was that they had. So it's like if he would have scored that, then you're looking at double digit points off of only three targets, I guess is what it would really account to. But people would look at that and be like, oh, wow, he got, you know, 17 or 18 DraftKings points for me, so maybe I'll go there. But they're looking at it, two targets and 9.5. I think they'll just be like, oh, nah, never mind. It's the Giants. Forget it. So,
yeah, no, the other one, TJ Hockenson is the other one. If I can get up to him at 5,300 against Jacks, well, I love that matchup too.
Yeah, he's got a nice price there too, and I think he could definitely go overlooked there. Let's touch on defense real quick before we build our Degen Nation pod team.
Punt.
And I hear Maddie in the background there, a little white noise. I couldn't know what that was. I couldn't see what that was coming through, but punting defense this week. So, you know, we talk about defense all week, and you know, can you pay up, or is there a defense that you feel comfortable with? And Maddie, I think it was the first time that last week I got to you to even say that you're remotely interested in paying, you know, 29 or 3,000 for a defense because you just didn't feel good about any of the bottom ones. So here we are again, and so many good defenses, right? Quote unquote, like so many defenses that people want to pay up for. Baltimore against Philly that just went dumb against Cincinnati. Patriots are back on the slate. Everybody always wants to play them. They're 4,100. Colts getting pressure against Cincinnati, 4,000. And then you get to like the Packers against Tampa Bay, which I don't really understand how they're 3,700, but Pittsburgh, Broncos, Bears, you know, and then you get into this range down low. So I'm looking at this, and I've kind of pulled it up, and I was just like, okay, I mean, I guess I'm interested in the Dolphins at 2,900. Can I get any cheaper than that? I'm looking at the Bengals against Indy going against Phillip Rivers. They're 2,100.
Yes.
Phillip Rivers. And, you know, I hate to try and say trap game for them because, you know, what Vegas is saying doesn't equate to that. But if Burrow is going to attempt the ball and he could somehow, you know, get things right here and Zach Taylor can figure this thing out, keep it close here, 2,100. They are missing those interior linemen that we touched on, but they did get Geno Atkins back last week. So you're hoping that they can, you know, get something right there. And at 2,100 going against Phillip Rivers, who can make mistakes. I mean, I just don't know. And this is a week especially where, and I paid for the Chiefs last week. I'll own it. Like 3,500 against the Raiders. I was like, how can they let me down? They did. So I'm also about paying for defense. But you're looking at this, and I mean, Ravens at 4,500, like, dude, they have to go bananas to really pay off their Colts 4,000 against Cincinnati. I mean, yeah, it could work for you, but like you have to get all your other cheap plays right because you're not going to be able to pay up for these guys. Maddie, you take it over for me.
Yeah, no. So I just wanted to touch on two things. Like last week, you know, we called the Browns D and they ended up being, you know, the nuts at defense at 2,700. And on my main team last week, I actually played the Raiders defense against the Chiefs at min price because the rest of my team was all the guys that I wanted to play on my main team. So this week is going to be the exact same. I'm going to fit in my position players first. And it's for me, my builds have come down to 2,300 and 2,100 left. And it's Vikings and Bengals down there. And it's just, I need the salary elsewhere. I'm not going to punt tight end like everybody else in the field is going to do. I'm going to punt defense because I mean, any defense can get you 4 points and any defense can get you 15. Just a matter of getting lucky with a defensive touchdown here or there and getting a couple sacks and an interception.
Yeah,
I'm punting defense.
I like the Bengals. I like the Vikings call. I do like the Dolphins at 2,900. And if I'm going to pay for a defense in the low 3K range, I actually don't hate the Giants. They're 3,200 against Washington. So, that's probably where I'm going to be at.
Yeah, I really just don't see this week with so many guys in such favorable spots at the top at the skill positions, how you can justify. And if I get beat by, you know, Miles Boykin going dumb and it's Chase Claypool week for him, then so be it. But I really like getting to the Bengals there and building it up. Okay, so that is going to do it for the week 6 DFS breakdown, but not before we get to build our team on DraftKings and we're coming back again. Guys, we really need to regroup here because our past couple teams, we made some adjustments on game day and we've tweeted those out from the DGen Nation pod Twitter handle for those of you guys who have been asking about the show and or asking about the show team and whatnot. We're getting those out there for you. But, guys, we need to rebound this week and come up with a solid build here so we can get back into the green here. So let's get into it. We're playing this in the $5 single entry. I think it's the huddle on DraftKings here. We'll tweet out the roster, especially if it has somebody who's questionable or if there's changes that need to be made off a particular game. We'll make sure to do that. But let's start it off. And Kev, why don't you start it off this week?
Chris Godwin.
All right, so we got Chris Godwin in at 6,400. That's 8 more positions to fill. Maddie?
Davante Adams.
Oh, baby. We got the stat going. I'm going to say we play Brady with Godwin instead of Rodgers with Adams. So right now we got Tom Brady, Godwin, Adams, 48.50 per player left. We still got running backs, wide receiver, tight end, flex, defense to fill.
Well, I wanted to play Alexander Mattison, but I'm not going to do it, especially if you're playing in a single entry, because he's probably going to be like 40% owned in a single entry. So I'm going to go against that, and I'm going to lock in David Montgomery.
Okay. 5,800 for David Montgomery. Still got about 4,660 per player left. What say you, Maddie?
Let's go Jarvis Landry.
Okay. Jarvis Landry, we got him in at 4,900, so we got 46 per left. I kind of want to play somebody else with Brady if we're playing him, but Gronk is questionable. I saw he was limited this week. I won't talk about Brady, but I'm going to put in Ingram right now at 4,900 at that price. That leaves us 4,500 for running back, flex, and defense. So we will have stuff. We will have some money left over if we do punt defense for sure. I'll put in the Bengals right now. That gives us 5,700 for our running back and our flex position. Kev, what are you looking at? Flex or running back? Or both, I guess.
Well, I don't think we can get high enough on a running back to get to the point. So I was thinking about going Joe Mixon.
5,200 left for you, Maddie, if you don't dispute.
Well, I guess we're playing the Bengals defense. So, yeah, let's just ride it with Joe Mixon, you know?
Have y'all seen an update on Chark?
I saw that I think he was a do not practice this week or did not practice. Yeah, didn't participate in Thursday's practice.
Let's go with Chenault, 5,200 against Detroit.
Oh, Chenault over your boy Keelan Cole?
Yeah.
Okay. I had some Chenault last week. I just didn't have enough Brandon Cooks to run it back with, too much Will Fuller. You like what he's seeing, right? Target wise, and
yeah, his usage is starting to go up every single week. Every week his targets have increased, and he's being used, you know, kind of as the alpha wide receiver. Now I know Chark has been banged up; he left the game early last week. But I mean, Chenault was heavily involved. 8 targets, 70 yards.
Kev, if I go down to Brate, if for some reason Gronk is out, would you want to move up Mixon? Or do you want to keep it for now and just kind of monitor that situation?
If you're going to go to Brate, I'd rather play Marquise Brown in the flex or Jonathan Taylor in the flex, one of those two, over Chenault.
I just wanted to see if he – I don't know if he sounded too confident about that Mixon call, but
– Actually, we could go Derrick Henry. If we did that,
we're 100 off from AJ Brown.
I mean, you still got to think about Tanner Hudson, right? For Tampa Bay too. Like, what was that? The dude was getting run over Brate. That was with Brate on the field. They were running some 12 personnel there. With Gronk, Brate, Gronk, Hudson, Brate. So that's an interesting thing that's going on in Tampa Bay. But
we could leave some money on the table. And if you wanted to go A.J. Brown, because I don't hate James Robinson, so we could always go there.
Yeah, I like that.
I'm good with that. Yeah.
Go A.J. Brown in the flex, or actually I'll put Godwin in the flex with the later start. So the team that we have right now, we got Tom Brady at quarterback. I just want to get these players in before I forget. Okay, Tom Brady at quarterback, David Montgomery and James Robinson are the running backs, A.J. Brown, Davante Adams, Jarvis Landry at the wide receivers, Cameron Brate at tight end, Chris Godwin in the flex, Bengals D, $300 left over, $5 single entry, going in, submit, and that is that. And that is going to give us a cap on the Week 6 DFS DraftKings breakdown here from the DGEN Nation pod. And guys, I've been pretty bad about it, but you guys got any final words before we sign off? I haven't been letting you guys get a final word and chime in. Kev, you want anything? Want to say anything about Bell? Maddie, you want to say anything about Lamar?
I want an open apology from Kevin next week when Lamar goes for 37 DraftKings points on Sunday.
That's not going to happen. I mean, he ain't scoring those kind of points. So
you're going to give an apology?
No, because it's still a fish take. It was just. But I do appreciate you.
It's a fish take if I predict he's going to go nuclear and then he goes nuclear. But it's fine.
But I do appreciate you paying the rake this week. I do appreciate that. Okay.
We'll see.
Yes.
Love that. Love that.
And I'm always right. Just remember that.
Oh, that's where we got to sign it off there. It's the DraftKings. I can't even do it because he's got me all flustered. It's the DGEN Nation pod, guys, powered by the TFA, the Fantasy Authority. We appreciate everybody who's been coming in all year, joining us for all 6 weeks. Episode 84. So we're grinding them out. We're getting through the season and we're, along for the ride as this season has been a wild one, but we appreciate it. And we appreciate seeing all the chatter, guys. If you want more of the DGEN Nation chatter, reach out to us. We can get you into our Slack channel. It's been fun to talk about showdown slates or what's going on the season or how teams are doing or who's winning pools and who's just everything. And we even start to questions. Those things are coming in too. So reach out to us at DGEN Nation Pod, or you can reach out to any one of the three of us and we'll figure out how to get you in there. But until then, signing off for Maddie Dickinson at Maddie DFS, Kevin Steele, the Godfather at Fantasy Rat 13, and myself, Ryan Williams at RyanAlexander_W. That's going to do it for week 6. And we will see you guys next week for week 7 of the week 7 DraftKings breakdown. Until then, get that money. We out. Peace.
You think you can tell me what to do? Who you're talking to?
Well, you better get used to the way the war back. I see what you got in measures and ounces. But that's a great boy. Yeah, that's a great little man. Break it down. Think you're right, you know.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.